open and informed discussion on the challenges schools, teachers, and students face during COVID-19. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
Oh, and we are back. Fully leaded education talk. Department of Public Instruction, state superintendent candidates, seven of them. Guest co-host, Teacher Joanna. If you want to call us, 844-967-2789. We're going over the seven candidates that will go for the primary in February, which will be narrowed down to two. And we were looking at, quote, status quo as an organizing print way to maybe look at that or bringing fresh eyes. We left this with, we were going to start talking, but Joanna, you and I during the break, you saying from a teacher perspective, like have a way to define what you mean by fresh?
I do. Or when I even mentioned status quo earlier, it's like we're aware of like what's been happening and what's going on and the directives we've been given over the past, you know, 10 years or so. And so to me, and none of those have been, you know, garnered great results or generated this great excitement or retained teachers or seriously closed gaps or improved things. And so what I'm perking up, when I'm hearing like we need structural change or bottom up, mm-hmm. that stuff, you know, really perked me up, because otherwise we're just talking about tweaking our current system.
Okay.
And I'm a veteran educator, 25 years in. Seen a lot of it, and we're beyond tweaking. We need some
overhaul. So structural change is like a not buzzword, but that's like, whoa, let me listen closer then if somebody's talking with that language. Yeah, I think about that too, because when you were first talking about administration, I was thinking you were talking about DPI being more of a bureaucracy, and then you narrowed it down to saying, no, it seems like they really listen to school administrators. But what about teachers, and then what about parents, and then, you know, hey, yeah, what about students and things Great. Like that? And the idea of saying that we're going to start, for example, with coming from, wonder what teachers need in their classrooms, right? As opposed to, we're going to get you more money, right? I'm always concerned with the candidate that's going to get me more money. Unless they know how to finish it up with, so you can be free to be an awesome professional. Mm-hmm. Because typically, I'm going to get you more money to buy this new box set of books, and you're going to use them because we know that using these books or curriculum are going to close the achievement gap. Right. And then I'm like, I don't want any more money then. No, keep it.
Right.
Just keep it. You know, because right. it's a mandate, it's not money, and it's not proven. So I'm going to take the first crack, though, and say, look, Deborah Kerr, I've got, you know, science of reading. There is no such thing, okay? I'm sorry, it sounds good. It's now floating across the atmosphere as something we should all be behind. The problem is it's not real. There's no such thing as the science of reading. And in fact, it in and of itself is announcing a political stance that you are taking on how to teach reading, which is back to the days when all grandparents learned to read. Phonics, A, I, B, 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 A, T, B, A, T. What's that spell? Baata. Of course, it spells Baata.
And you and I know that, you know, alignment and standardization
yes.
has been what has actually created some harm and caused problems within schools and among the teaching profession. And Deb really does talk about alignment and standardization.
Alignment and standardization. She's also the one too who's got the markers too, right? Grade three reading, or is that? I think that was Shondalyn though. No, that was actually Shondalyn Hendricks that talks about, you know, we need to make sure that people are grade level reading by grade three, grade level, and even that. So that's going to make me really cautious of Shondalyn, because that sounds like something I've heard for 40 some years, which is if you can't be reading on grade level, then you're not doing your job. And there's this kind of like, and if you don't read in third grade, and it starts reminding me of Florida, where they flunk you if you're not mm-hmm. quote on grade level. Mm-hmm. And grade level versus age, already we have to start asking the question, well, do you really understand learning theory? Because learning theory doesn't really correspond well to age and grade. Age and grade is a system that we've created. So structural systems, I want to hear people breaking those up. So Deborah Kerr, Sean Lynn, those kind of things, those worry me because that's status quo.
And I would put Briggs into that too. So okay. if I had to group them, that is just it. Like, that's just kind of what I was hearing is like, they're familiar with the existing system structures, priorities, let's say, mm-hmm. And they can speak about that pretty well.
Okay. Yeah. So Sheila Briggs bringing in tons of experience, lots of ideas, lots of passion to close the achievement gap when it comes to how this is where I'm kind of like, yeah. Okay. So it's, I still hear this alignment. We need, you know, great materials, right?
High quality materials.
Right. I know high quality teachers given crappy materials still remain really quality teachers, because actually materials have no real lifer. They're not living, right? So as a history teacher, give me, quote, a bad history book, or like the 1776 report that came out last night. What an awesome teaching tool. It's horrendous, though. It's a horrendous piece. But as an awesome teacher, I would love it. So high quality materials, that also reminds me of, I'm not sure you're valuing teacher expertise as much. So, okay, so there. So now then, how about, where are we at?
Well, so what I was
Give me a teacher thought.
A little bit different than things that I was hearing was from Kroll, Fenrick, Gunderson, and Underly.
Okay.
So, again, they just didn't speak heavily about things that are currently going on, except for maybe outlining the roots of what maybe some of our current issues are, which I always like that. I always like when, you know, there's this quote, I think it's from like Alex G here in Madison, that like, if you don't really understand the root cause of something, you can't really help.
Mm-hmm.
What you think could be helpful is actually harmful. And so I heard the candidates, Fenrick, Gunderson, Underly, and Kroll talk a bit about maybe some underlying issues, or I don't know, they gave some indication that they understand root causes,
right,
and would want to change systems to address that.
Yeah, and that's the question of achievement gap for me. The easiest illustration is, how do you answer that question? If that question isn't answered with, well, we have to look at what causes the achievement gap. And when we look at achievement gap, it's a measure of, holy crap, it's a measure of social, racial inequities. You name it, food, housing, racism, all those things are there. If you don't talk about that, then you don't really know how to close the achievement gap, other than possibly masking it by creating some type of a, quote, test score that might show. And that's really not closing the achievement gap, because the achievement gap, as you and I have talked about this many times, the achievement gap is actually a marker of a problem in the structure of a system that devalues kids and families. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear that. And so that's, too, I hear a little bit more of that coming out of Troy, and for me, Joe Utterly. It doesn't disqualify Kroll, and it doesn't disqualify Fenrick, because they both kind of get at it. But there's more of a depth for me in those two when we're talking about that, the achievement gap. The other thing too is, you know, the tag coming into the show, like what we've been doing all this time, is really spending as much time as we can talking about COVID. And that's a really important question. And I tell you, so here's my riff on this one. I think they all could have answered that one better. I don't know. What do you, I just, again, it felt mechanistic, like there was a solution, prescriptive. Like I didn't hear anybody talk about what I would like to hear, like when we interviewed Dr. Gloria Ladson-Billings, that came out hardcore and said, look, it might be buried in there, but say it straight out.
Right.
COVID has unveiled how disastrously inequitable, how poorly funded, how structurally racist our public school system is. And if we're going to come out of COVID, we can't do anything other than recognize that going back to normal is not something that we're shooting for.
Well, that's, okay. You know, there's a whole nother aspect to then even the questions. So when I attended the first event, I hadn't seen any, you know, like I really was just attending and listening. And I thought, oh, who picked these questions? Like, who was saying like, these are the issues in education?
Okay.
You know, and so how the questions will vary from group to group, you know, so, and no, you know, it is what it is. Like the WPEN one did have maybe some more questions focused on charters and vouchers. I get it in terms of like, that is what,
right. That's,
you know,
that's
really
their advocacy area.
Public, yeah. Right. The WEAC one that I attended, did focus more on like, right. How are you going to help teachers? And yet, and this isn't even up to the candidates. I'm just more like, where did that get developed of like, who defines that, like, these are the issues? And now I'm even taking it out of that and looking at even the Biden platform, you know, of like, because, oh my gosh, I read some things today, Tim, where I'm like, this huge focus on learning loss. And I'm like, oh no, no, we're going to do that. And so
I,
you know, then I'm like, how can this is what's not clear to me. Like, can any of these candidates see through that?
Well, you know, and I cannot remember again, and I just read the answers, but somebody specifically did talk about learning loss. I was like, ah, lost my vote. Because, yeah, this is, again, made up learning loss, you know, the deficit model of thinking, which in other words means you are convinced that instead of really rich, maybe tragic experiences and things that kids are going through, teachers are going through, families are going through, there's a lot of learning occurring.
Well,
right?
I think I heard it on your show before when Denisha and Jesse were on, that it's too, it's another way to just maintain what's in the social order right now.
Right. Because,
and so if we're really about equity and changing things, we can't use that. We can't use that language.
Yeah, and see, that's the part. So, yeah, learning loss, Biden. So as we move into this, you know, and we're coming up in the last minute, and then we'll have the last segment. So, you know, again, I've, for me, if I'm a voter, you know, I've got four to pick from. I've put them out right there as mine. I let you know, you, Joanna, you'll keep them there where you keep this going. If you want to call us, tell us who you think should be the next state superintendent. 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, back at the break.
Four dark years in American history come to an end Wednesday. The inauguration of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will be broadcast live on Devil Radio 92.7. Uninterrupted coverage beginning at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, always streaming live at devilradio927.com.
Get ready to get local. Saturdays at 11 a.m., Dane by Local and 92.7 FM Devil Radio bring you Let's Get Local, a new program featuring area businesses and nonprofits that make our community unique and special. So tune in Saturdays and go local, Madison.
Stream the Devils and Progressive News and Talk 24-7 at the Devils Advocates Radio Network, Wisconsin. That's DARNWI.com. That's DARNWI.com.
Hi, this is Dom from the Devil's Advocates inviting you to join us on Patreon.com. Patreon allows for our audience to access exclusive programming not available anywhere else and gives you the ability to directly support the greatest radio show ever. History's patrons have supported the works of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Monet, and now with your support, the Devil's Advocates. So please go to Patreon.com and search the Devil's Advocates to pick your subscription. That's Patreon.com and the Devil's Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
Tune into Sharp Elbows. It's on at 10 a.m. Saturdays with me, Representative Francesca Hong, and my friend Nada El-Makashvi. Every Saturday morning, we want to have a conversation with you about what's going on in the world. Whether it's on the biggest issues, current events, or people who inspire us, let's discuss it all. It's kind of like brunch, but with politics, guests, and callers. No shortage of fun, but also be prepared for some serious truth-telling. Talk to y'all soon.
Sharp Elbows airs Saturdays 10 a.m. only on Devil Radio 92.7.
Saturday morning at 9 a.m., tune in for Ask the Builder and hear about projects that can be done to improve your space. Join me, Naomi Craw, and members of our team at Bachman Construction as we take calls from the community and share our family's three generations of experience.
Ask the Builder airs Saturdays at 9 a.m. Talk radio made for the 99%, only on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, Wisconsin's home for Devil Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
I wonder what Matt would think. I wonder who Matt's pick would be because, you know, actually, I don't want to ask Matt's mom. I'd want to know, Matt Damon, if you're out there listening, call us 844-967-2789. We don't want to talk to your mom tonight. We want to talk to you. Who should be the next state superintendent of public instruction in the state of Wisconsin? Seven candidates. We were talking, geez, status quo candidates. How do we talk about status quo? Well, it's certain things that they say, certain maybe ways they frame the things that they want to do could probably. Might from a and you and I, as much as I was an administrator in higher ed working with schools of education and stuff, I think I bring a teacher lens largely to this. And so, you know, the question to me that was the most important question was the question on the teacher shortage, which is actually the teachers who are quitting and leaving, which at Busted Pencils we know is a real exodus. I was looking for a candidate to go, look, we need to come to terms and say we've got an exodus problem. Okay. Nobody came right out and said that. There were a couple that came close. I'll give them that. Okay. Yeah. There were a couple that came close because that's a serious issue. And in fact, I was just looking nationally now. Where was it coming out? But I mean, you know, surprise, surprise, the teacher shortage now with COVID is worse than ever. Mm-hmm. And after COVID will continue to look horrible. Right.
Well, what's going to define the candidates in that one is they can all speak to maybe why it's happening. But the difference is going to be, what's your solution?
Yeah. Well, Joanna, what's the solution? What's the right answer?
Ooh. What's the solution? Well, when I'm hearing things again, I think we have to talk very plainly about the teaching conditions and not just talk about teaching as aspirational. You mm-hmm. know, the whole like teachers just love kids so much. Yeah. Yes, I do. And yet I'm a trained professional. And so there were some of the candidates who talk more about that than others. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk straight up about pay. I feel like Jill Utterly had a lot to say about how to restore, you know, like, or move to a professional career model in terms of compensation, honoring education. And that's some things that I think the general public doesn't even realize.
Right.
I mean, like, those are some of the things we've lost. Like, I've heard leaders, you know, they were saying, like, master's degrees don't matter.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Oh. We want, you know, really well-qualified, really well-educated professionals.
Yeah, I like when teachers have gone to school. It makes me happy that they.
Right,
And I like when they keep. I like when they keep going to school too, considering that they keep teaching. Because
so I think, Absolutely. It, you know, there has to be something addressed with what the current working conditions and environment are. And again, not in aspirational ways.
No, it's not aspirational.
Another thing,
go ahead.
That they talk about, there's a lot, you know, and this is, hey, word to all of you candidates, because everybody, and maybe this was something they polled and is safe, but when you say teacher voice, I always say voice can be ignored. I'm not interested in you just hearing my voice and ignoring me.
Yeah.
We need to talk about real structural power.
We had,
there are defined roles and goals of how teachers are a part.
Yeah, I love that. My perfect example of that was in the reissue of PI 34, which is the teacher licensing law in the state of Wisconsin. We had teachers at the table. I went, oh, and did you tape their mouths shut or something? Because I know any teacher would not have come up with these new regulations for teacher licensure, which are deprofessionalizing, demotivating, and essentially also says, look, we're okay with breathing people teaching next to master degree people, because it really only, so that really.
So a candidate who can talk specifically and boldly about what a structural education system looks like that includes teachers in decision making and setting priorities. Oh, I'm all about it.
Okay.
And I was hearing some things get closer to that.
Yeah, for me, I heard more of that in Utterly and Gunderson. You know what though? We're like 2.5 minutes, so what you're hinting at, and I want to go there before we leave, and anybody. Are you talking about some form of, is there any candidate that might want to broach the subject that Act 10 was a disaster and took away teacher voice, and that they would be a proponent for working for restoration of collective bargaining?
I don't know that anybody is saying that directly.
Oh, why?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard it quite that direct yet.
I mean, I put that out there rhetorically funny, because it's at the heart though of these things, and I'm sorry, you know, I hear people even in the up to the our past Wisconsin gubernatorial election, it was like, you know, you can't talk about that. It's done, you know. Seriously, I made a joke about this as if it was some form of a scientific law that was discovered and is now in place, and we call it Act 10, therefore you can't do anything to it. It's like, no, it was a stupid policy rammed down the throat of people who don't like unions, who don't like people being professionals, who didn't like teachers, who had it out. It was a political hit job, you know?
Yeah.
Joanna,
we got
1 minute.
Before we have to wrap up, yeah. I really do want to encourage anyone who's listening in Wisconsin to participate in the primary on February 16th. You can request an absentee ballot before next Tuesday, anytime here in the state of Wisconsin, if you're still worried about going to the polls. I hope that we have people interested. This is an important position in our state. We're very lucky that it's an elected position. And we could be doing so much more for our public schools and communities.
That's it.
With active, some great leadership.
Yeah, active citizenry, especially here. Come on, get out there. And there will not be any stealing of this vote. There will not be any fraud. But it is incredibly important. And as I said, just to remind you, in the state of Wisconsin, there are other states where you do not get this opportunity, this privilege to pick, to go with, to vote for the state superintendent. Joanna, thank you so much. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Another week done. See you next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to bustedpencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.